Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 will be our text this morning. We're dealing with the faith from Christ. Sometimes we refer to the faith of Christ, which was his, but we're dealing with the faith from Christ this morning, and that's what's important. So Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin reading in the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11 and read down through verse 16. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then I want to go over to chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then I want to bring into the picture, and we'll have this verse repeated a few times during the message, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith that we're reading about, this faith comes to us by hearing and accepting the word of God. Now, it's a wonderful thing to have a very positive attitude about life, to have positive psychology, to even be an optimist. And, of course, a lot of times people equate that as being faith. Well, it is a form of faith, I suppose, but it's not really the faith that God is showing us here. If a very positive attitude and a very positive psychology was the faith that God was talking about, then everybody with a positive attitude would believe in creation. Because, notice verse 3 of Hebrews 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So wherever there is the faith that comes to us from Christ through the word of God, there'll be a belief in the creation. So we know that faith is more than just saying, well, if I hadn't had faith, I wouldn't have got through this operation. Or if I wouldn't have faith, I wouldn't believe that, you know, I can make a living or something like that. The faith that we're dealing with is a different type of of a belief than just a positive outlook upon life. Faith is a very noble thing. It is not a base desire. Philippians 3:19 speaks of those whose God is their belly, because unless it suits their self-indulgent desire, they're not interested. And of course, faith is not on that level at all. It is not just a base desire. The rich man in hell recognized what faith was. I want to go back to Luke chapter 16. We'll be looking at several Bible examples on this subject. But the first one here in Luke chapter 16, and there in verse 23, he has died now. As you see in verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. And so in verse 23, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. So there is no purgatory you can pray yourself out of, or have some priest pray you out of. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So you notice that in the 19th and 28th verse, it talks about this rich man being clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And in verse 28, he had five brethren just like him. And they too had been or were on earth just as he had been. It's a very common situation for people to be enjoying this life and yet have no interest at all in their spiritual need or in God, who can only meet that need. What they needed, they had no regard for. And that is, Abraham said, well, they've got the word of God. They've got Moses and the prophets. He said, no, they won't listen to that. But if you send Lazarus back from the dead, they'll listen to that. And the answer was, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded. So if a person will not hear the word of God, there is no other medium for man to get on the right side of spiritual matters. He has to do it through faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So verse 31, the situation is, if they won't hear the word of God, they won't be persuaded. There's no other medium. Everybody in hell knows that. That the reason that they're there is because they didn't hearken to the word of God. Anybody in heaven is beholden to that. That the reason they're there was because they had faith that came to them by hearing the word of God. But in general, people are more interested in everything else but the word of God. And that's why the need is so great. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and there in verse 3 and 4, and this gets into to the area of religion. Sometimes people think that once you step into the circle of religion, everything's great. Well, beware. Christ said it wasn't. He said, beware, lest there are many false teachers that will come and will deceive many. But here in 2 Timothy 4, in verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. So you know what itching ears, you want to hear something that's you know, funny, something that makes you laugh, something that makes you feel good. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So fables are stories that convey some moral message. So you notice in those that it's not about how biblical the message is, but how a person enjoys the occasion. And that can be what can be settled for in religion. We don't really want to hear too much about our sin. We don't want to hear too much about God's way, but we want to have a good time when we go to church. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him, which is God. That calls for us to understand what faith really is, rather than just what we would want it to be. We might want things a certain way, but unless it is a way of faith, it's not acceptable to God. Faith can be thought of as presumption. In other words, well, you know, it's the way I feel about it, and this is the way I think, and this suits me, so maybe I'm even a little better than somebody else. And a person might attribute that. They might also think that because I have faith, you'll hear a lot today about faith because of Charlie Kirk's situation. Seem like there are some that are talking a lot about faith now. But for a lot of people, faith is the idea that I'm invincible. You know, I'm just invincible. And I even heard one person who definitely should not be using this, but they said, well, I am in a position where no weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper. And so that was their thinking. So that's self-exaltation. When you get to the point where you think I'm invincible because I'm a person of faith, and then you begin to think about self-exaltation. So there's a lot of areas that a person can go. In the 18th chapter of Luke, the Pharisee trusted in himself that he was righteous, and he looked down on other people. He despised others, it says. And then in his prayer, he said, I thank thee that I'm not like other people are. So, and he wasn't a person of faith. So faith can be misdiagnosed in a religious realm as well as outside of it. There's nothing that equals the faith that comes by way of the Word of God. None of our intellectual powers can produce it. It has to come to us from the Word of God. And when I say that nothing else can equal that, go over to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. When you think about what faith offers and faith affords, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No other positive psychology or anything can afford that. But when we receive the Word of God and we accept what the Word of God tells us, we can come to the point of accepting God's plan of salvation as it is offered, and nothing else is great enough to afford us salvation, except through the faith. And then in 1 John 5 and verse 4, 1 John 5 and verse 4, when you think about this, 1 John 5, 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Nothing else is capable of doing that. Nothing else is capable of giving a person the ability to overcome. And this is not talking about circumstantially, just trampling underfoot everything. But I want to read over in Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11. And this will give you an example of how that faith enables a person to overcome. Overcome. Here in Hebrews 11, 33. And the Hebrews 11 chapter is often referred to as a catalog of faith, which is certainly sets that forward. But in verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So this is referring to all the stories you have back in the Old Testament. And women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Now, have you ever wondered about how that people could endure persecution? Well, through faith they could. They could endure it. I know we have been privileged to live in a country where we've not been persecuted if we go to church. And I've often wondered, you know, how is that something that would play out in my life? If I knew if I went to church, perhaps I would be taken out here and abused and beaten and carried on, you know, made a public shameful example of that. How would I feel about that? And you read in the Bible where people were stoned because they would not deny their faith, and a whole lot of things. So how does that work? Where does a person get that from, the ability to overcome that? Through faith. The faith that will come to us, whatever is needed for the event or the moment, faith will meet the challenge. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. There is something greater than human psychology. There's something greater than human strength. So why is faith not the same as human positive psychology? We read Hebrews 12:2 because it comes to us from Christ. He's the author and the finisher of the faith that the Bible presents to us. So it didn't come from us. It's not of human origin. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of the faith of the Bible. And it comes to us as we receive God's word, as we open up our heart, as we accept it. We don't get faith from human emotion, human opinion, or human appreciation. It comes to us from God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now I want to look at just a couple examples that's in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. First one would be verse 4 of Hebrews 11, and that's Abel. It says, by faith Abel. So that means what he did was because of what God spoke to him to do, and he did it. So by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. So what he offered is what God accepted him on, because it was an offering of faith. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. So it's a testimony to us. Now I want to go back to the book of Genesis and just pick up some little detail on this. Genesis chapter 4. So that's pretty much in the front of your Bible. But in Genesis chapter 4, and there in the third verse, we have the account of this. Genesis 4 and verse 3. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So by faith Abel offered a sacrifice. So where did he get the idea? God told him to do that. The animal sacrifice was ordained of God. It pointed people to the Lamb of God, who would die on the cross of Calvary. And it pointed them to God's foreordained provision for the sin of mankind, which we know that Christ's death was foreordained. The Bible tells us that. So to offer the animal sacrifice, God told him to do that. It was a type of Christ to come. The shedding of the blood would be the means of the atonement for sin. The offering of the innocence of that lamb was a type of Christ's innocence by which we can be accepted. Abel offered that. Cain did not. And so as a result, why Cain got mad about it. You notice in the third verse, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now let's just think about these two different sacrifices. You can take vegetables and fruit, and you can make a very lovely presentation. And Cain did this. To him, boy, this was great. He probably had a very beautiful presentation. A lot of human initiative went into it. A lot of expectation from just looking at it. And a lot of human pride about this. He really felt like he had something that God really ought to be pleased with. But there was no faith involved. No faith involved. God didn't tell him to do this. God didn't say, this is a way you can become acceptable to me if you make an offering of good fruit. No faith involved. But in the fourth verse, Abel offered the animal sacrifice. Now, let's just contrast these a little bit. Some of you have butchered animals before. Some of you would probably throw up if you happen to see that process. And if you've ever been around it and you've done it, it's not a beautiful thing. I mean, you have to have your mind set on the fact, I'm going to get something good to eat. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's not something that's good. So there's not a pleasant thing involved to the eye, to a butchering process. But to a beautiful display of fruit and vegetables, there is. So what was the difference? Abel offered what he did by faith. Cain had no faith in what he offered. So there is only one reason Abel did it. God told him to do it. It wasn't because it was enjoyable. It wasn't because it was something that really he wanted to do necessarily. But it's because he knew if I did it, I'm going to be acceptable to God. This is what will make me acceptable to God. It brought him peace with God. It brought him assurance that God told him if he would do it, he'd be accepted. So there was nothing gratifying to the flesh in doing this. That's what I'm pointing out. Cain was all about what was gratifying to him. Nothing gratifying to Abel in the flesh, except to him, this is what he wanted to do to be acceptable to God. And he did it by faith. So the satisfaction of faith is not of the flesh. It's not something that you're just going to be all exuberant about in the flesh. But there is a satisfaction greater than that. When you know that you're acceptable to God. Reading over in the book of Philippians, and Paul talks about faith. He talks about being acceptable to God in the eyes of the Lord through faith. And in the third chapter of Philippians, and there in verse 8 and 9, in Philippians 3 and verse 8 and 9, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. When Paul accepted Christ as his Savior, he was made acceptable to God on the basis of what Christ did for him on the cross of Calvary. He said, that means more to me than anything else in the world. He said, I discount everything else, nothing compared to that. And back in chapter 1 of Philippians, and there in verse 20, Philippians 1:20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why do people want to serve God? Because of faith. When a person wants to serve God for the right reason, it's because they want to please God. And they want to be acceptable to Him, which to them is a greater thing than anything else. I know I've had people ask me, well, why do you go to church all the time? Why do you go to church all the time? As if you know you have to have some enticement to go, some special reason that would be enticing to you. No, that's not the reason. It's that connection that's between you and God. That's why you want to do it. So there's a chasm wide between what human nature relates to and what is of God from God by faith. Christ was both human, yet he had no sin, even though he was human. So he had the human nature, and he was also divine. Yet here's the point I want to make. Being a sinless human being, he still realized, I've got to say, not my will, but thine be done. There's a broad gap between what human and what is God. And Christ said, not my will, thine be done, thine be done. So Christ went to the cross by faith in God's will. He didn't go there because it was going to be a pleasurable experience to him in the flesh. He went there by faith. And you know, he wanted to do it. He really wanted to do it because it was God's will to provide our salvation. You think where we'd be if he hadn't wanted to do it. Just think about that. We would have nothing except we're going to die and go to hell. But he wanted to do the Father's will by faith, and he did it, and that's why we have salvation. It's offered to us freely. So Luke 9:23, Christ said, if any man's going to follow me, he's going to have to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We only serve the Lord when we follow the Lord by faith, not by just pleasing ourselves and just doing what would be comfortable for ourselves. We'll look at another example of faith, and that's Noah. Back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now that's important. Not seen as yet. What is that? God's warning of a flood. There had never been a flood seen before. You go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6. When it came to watering the ground, how did God do it? There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It didn't rain back then. There had never been a rain. There had never been a flood. But God just watered the earth with a mist that came up from the face of the ground and watered the vegetation. God did it that way. And if it was still that way, we wouldn't question it. We just know it. That's the way it is. So there had never been a rain. There had never been a flood. And God warned Noah of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah did this. Now think about this. Try to really get this and see the fullness of it. There was no way to relate to the need to build an ark. There was no way you could relate to that in the flesh. Never rained before, never been a flood before. So you could not relate to that, except God says do it. It's the only way you could relate to it. God says build an ark, because there's going to be a flood, and you have to be in the ark, or you will die, you will perish in the flood. Now the ark, there is an ark down in Kentucky. We visited that a while back. It gives you a pretty good idea of how it was. The ark was, and these would be the smaller dimensions. Some of them say a little bit bigger, but figuring a cubit to be 18 inches. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Well, all of gopher wood. Remember, there was no Lowe's. There was no electricity. There was no power tools. It all had to be done by hand. Build an ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. What for? Never rained before, never been in flood, but God said, do it, let's do it. That's what faith was. And so they were in that ark for over a year. And you know who their company was? Those stinky animals. In there for over a year, all they had were animals of all sorts. And then to get them on the ark, you know, that would be an impossibility, except God enabled it to be done. When God told Noah to do it, he could do it. So they had to have provisions on board for that. If you ever thought about going out on a picnic and you're going to have more than one meal out on a picnic, got to have a bigger basket. Well, a year on this ark, over a year on the ark. Not only food for themselves, but all those cows and elephants and everything that was there. They did it not because it was pleasurable. They did it because God said, do it. By faith, they did it. So the only incentive there was to complete such a task was, we believe God. God tells us this. There's no other reason to support it. But God says, do it, and we're going to do it. And they did it. So faith motivates and supports that which nothing else will. Faith does not require that other things agree with, promote, complement, or please. It's just whatever God says. That's what we believe. Faith enables one to make decisions about serving God that nothing else will support. You notice here in Hebrews, and we're going to hurry up here, but in Hebrews 11, 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out not knowing whither he went. Well, he went out with nothing else to go on, but God says go. And nothing else would support that, except God said do it. Faith enables us to see things about life that cannot and will not be seen otherwise. You notice down in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. So when we're getting our faith from Christ through his word, we can believe in rewards for serving him. We can believe that it's more precious to us to deny ourselves and do what the Lord wants us to do. We can believe that. We can really have our confidence in that. So faith enables us to comprehend what otherwise would only be maybe a fit of imagination. You know, a lot of times, and I don't say this in any way disrespectful, but over my 58 years, I've been involved with a lot of funerals. And some of the families I don't know that well. But when they get into this area of life, death, they'll start talking about heaven. And maybe they'll start talking about, well, my favorite dog's up there. Or I'm going to walk on streets of gold, you know, and I'm going to live in a mansion. It's all just bits of imagination that they're dealing with. That's not what faith is. It's not just some imaginary thoughts about the hereafter, but faith connects us with the reality of what God tells us. And I want you to look at verse 24 quickly. This will be our last reference. But here in verse 24, when I talk about this connection, by faith Moses, Hebrews 11, 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses could take the world's worst because he believed that that's what would get him the reward in heaven. He could take that over the world's best. He was a prince in Egypt, but he chose to serve the Lord instead. Faith sees that eternal rewards are far greater than the pleasures of sin. But you know, sad to say, not everybody that says I'm a Christian sees that. You and I all know of people that say they're a Christian, but their attachment is to the things of the world, not serving God. And that's because the faith is not there. Knowledge may be there, but the faith isn't there. Christ said, by their fruits ye shall know them. So in eternity, whether it's hell or heaven, everyone will see what faith that comes by receiving God's word is all about. The rich man in hell knew it. People in heaven know it. So we must not let God's word just be a sound in our ear or added knowledge to our brain, but we must put our trust in it with all of our heart, with full confidence in God. And of course, when your trust is genuine, that will be your assurance. Somebody said, well, how do you know you're saved? If you have truly trusted Christ to save you, your trust in his promise that he will is your assurance. You know it. There's no way that you can trust without having the benefit of what that trust is all about. So the gospel is, how did Christ die for our sins according to the scriptures? That he was buried, that he arose again the third day. And the answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May we bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word because we know we would have no connection. We would know there was a heaven. Without your word, we would know there was a hell. We would know what our needs are. But your word gives us the full picture to where we can know that we all need a Savior, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can atone for our sin, and only the righteousness of Christ can make us acceptable in your sight. So when we come to you seeking your salvation by faith, putting our trust in him, you save us based on what Christ did, not anything of ourselves. Thank you for that free gift of salvation to those who believe. We pray that your Spirit would give the invitation, and thank you for your love and for your faith that's found in your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.